The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
After I came home from combat, I'm still dealing with some pretty traumatic PTSD.
Yeah.
And I remember I was out till bar close one night, and I had really reached the end of myself. And I got home at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was, you know, considering taking my life. I did not want to die. I just didn't know how to keep going. And I was in so much pain.
Right.
Iraq veteran Ben Peterson shares how healing from his own trauma has helped others with theirs. Next on Life Today.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm Randy Robinson. So good to have you. You know, I like to think of this world as the crossroads between heaven and hell. And if you look around, you'll see both. And we're here to bring heaven down. But a lot of times, it feels like you're going through hell. If you're one of those persons today, I just want you to know that there is hope. You're going to hear the testimony of someone whose hell was called Iraq. Ben Peterson is my guest. Great to see you, Ben.
Good to see you, man. Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
And I teed that up a little bit so that people hopefully would hang on, because it's a tough story.
Yeah.
Take us back to what got you in the military in the first place.
Well, I grew up in a military family where really the greatest thing that you could do with your life is serve this nation in combat. And, you know, growing up around that, I watched my dad help World War II, you know, heroes tell their stories and unearth 50, 60 years of stuff that had never been talked about, right?
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, like many 9/11 combat vets, you know, when those two planes went into those towers, you know, it was just like, this is something that I need to do.
Yeah.
So I turned 17 and I joined the military. I had an 18 X-ray slot, so that would be to go into the special forces and be a bad dude. Got bullied a lot in high school and had a lot of challenges there. And so I wanted to become that kind of person that would never get messed around with again. But then life took me in another turn.
So you didn't 17? Don't you have to be 18?
You got to be 18. So you got to get your mom and dad to sign.
Okay.
And then I went through the MEPS kind of inboarding where they do all the medical stuff, and I failed the colorblind test.
The colorblind test.
Yeah, so they basically take all these colors and they make numbers out of them, and if you're colorblind, you can't see the numbers.
Really?
Yeah. So
did you know you were colorblind?
I had no clue. So I got a 3 out of 20, and then they said, you know, you can't be in the special forces. And I mean, think about it. If they ask you to cut the green wire,
that's
not going to work.
Wow. Well, so you volunteered, I mean, at a young age,
yeah,
to serve our country.
Yeah.
And then they tell you, sorry?
Yeah.
And what do you
know? The only job, they offered me two jobs. They said you can be an administrative specialist, and then they said, you know, you can be a chaplain's assistant. And I said, well, what's that? And they said, you know, you're the bodyguard of the chaplain, and then you're his ministry assistant, you know? And that was the first time, Randy, that I really felt that unique, indescribable, I've got a call on your life kind of thing, right?
Yeah, were you close to God at this point?
I had just given my life to Christ.
Okay.
The bully of our high school got radically saved by his aunt dragging him to a prayer meeting. And literally, this guy goes from, you know, complete terror, like Saul to Paul conversion,
right.
Turned our high school upside down.
Wow.
And he led me to Christ.
Wow.
So that was like a month before this.
Wow.
And then I met this, and they're saying, you know, do you basically want to be in the ministry, in the military? And that's where I felt God saying, you know, I've got a calling on your life.
So you go in as a chaplain's assistant. What happens then?
Yeah, so we deployed to Iraq in 2008, 2009. We were a combat aviation brigade, so we flew medevacs, gunships, you know, taxicab rides in between bases. And so, you know, if an infantry unit's out on the ground and they run into something they can't handle, which they typically do, they call in, you know, the gunships. If they get hit, they call in, you know, medevacs, or you've got, you know, VIPs that are running around bases. And so we were supporting the ministry of all the guys who do all that and make all that happen. Mm-hmm. And on the sixth day of our tour, we hadn't even replaced the unit that we were there to replace. And one of our Chinook helicopters went down and 7 of my guys were killed.
Oh.
And so I was, you know, woken up by my chaplain at 3 o'clock in the morning saying, we've got a fallen angel. And, you know, we've got 7 KIA, and these are guys that we trained with that, you know, fathers, husbands, brothers, and it was devastating. And so, you know, we went through that. We did the memorial service the next day. And then the day after that, it was like it never even happened. Because when you're in a combat zone, you have to get right back to work and there's no time to grieve.
Well, what did that do to you, though?
Oh, man. So there's just there's a shame that hits you. There's a guilt that hits you of I'm still alive and you have this loss. And then when you don't have time to really process it or talk about it, and no one wants to talk about it, it just gets shoved down. And so, you know, I had to learn to just shove things down and keep going. So week after that, an E7 who was a day from going home walked into a port-a-john and blew his head off. Oh. So then we did the memorial service for those guys. So, I mean, literally within a week, you know, doing multiple memorial services and, you know, holding space for that MP unit and supporting them. And, you know, I was on more of the ministry side of things. And so it was really the fallout of these experiences. Then, you know, a few months after that, we had a suicide bomber that walked into a school that was right outside of our base. And blew himself up. So that was a Shiite Sunni thing, you know, between their two religion sects. It had nothing to do with us, but they went in there and did that and, you know, killed several dozen kids and wounded many more. And that local town did not have the capacity to handle a mass casualty of that size. And so, you know, a bunch of our, you know, base QRF teams went and got those kids that survived, brought them into our in-base hospital where I was with my chaplain and I was in the ER with those kids.
What did you see?
You know, it was like time stood still. You know, you're just going there. You know, you kind of know, you know, what you're getting yourself into. But, you know, when I saw a little girl with half of her face missing, and it was pretty surreal, man. Like, she was standing there in the midst of all this chaos, holding, I think it was her older sister's hand, and there was a little boy near her, and she just had half of her face missing, and she was just standing there completely calm, waiting to be helped. You know, and I remember just sitting there staring at her, and it cut my soul. That was probably one of the worst things I've ever seen.
Yeah, well, so here's the question, because, you know, I talked about, you know, heaven and hell, right? We got it all here.
Yeah.
And you were, at least in theory, a representative of heaven in a military situation. But here you are, I mean, looking at the results of hell, devastating people. What is that do to your faith, you know? What does that do to your emotions?
Yeah, you know, so many of the issues that we have with veterans and PTSD and things like that can come down to basically two areas. Trauma that you've experienced before going into combat, and then isolation and removing yourself from the tribe post-combat. Yeah. So when it comes to your, you know, average military person, about 60% of those who join the military, Randy, have a past of physical or sexual abuse. Mm. And, you know, I grew up in a home that was pretty emotionally insane. I had some, you know, sexual abuse that happened when I was a little boy, not from my family, but at a daycare. Mm. And, you know, my dad had a mental breakdown when I was 17, had all kinds of mental, he had obsessive compulsive disorder. Mm. And so I came into the military already with a very emotionally unhealthy way to process what was going on inside of me.
Right.
So then you go to combat, right? And then you get out of the military. And the thing about the military is it is the closest thing to America that you're going to find is a tribe. Our culture is more individualized than any other nation in the world. Huh. And so when you pull a veteran out of a true tribe where you eat and you sleep and you live and you breathe together and you put them in America, that's part of the reason that we have the trials that we have. Hmm. So then, you know, after I came home from combat, I began having nightmares and tremors in the middle of the night that I was murdering children. Hmm. And it was horrific. Hmm. And I never pulled the trigger my entire year in combat. You know, we were out on countless missions and out, but I just wasn't in any of those scenarios. And yet I'm still dealing with some pretty traumatic PTSD.
Yeah.
I was young in my faith. You know, I'd been, recently saved and, you know, really hadn't kind of found my true footing. And so I really was just like, man, God hates me. You know, look at the family I grew up in, look at the situation I grew up in. And I just didn't know how to navigate it.
Did you respond in any right ways early on and to cope with
those first few months really came down to drinking and going to the bar.
Yeah.
And
how'd that work out for you?
It didn't last long. And right. I think that's where, you know, I think all of us, we kind of have a Jesus tank, you know, in our souls.
Mm-hmm.
And if you walk away from it, that tank just starts to go down, right?
Yeah.
And I definitely hit that point, and I remember I was out till bar close one night, and I had really reached the end of myself. And I got home at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was, you know, considering taking my life. I had a handgun, and I did not want to die. I just didn't know how to keep going, and I was in so much pain. And I called a mentor of mine at 3 o'clock in the morning, Randy, and he picked up the phone, and I was just choking out tears, and I'm just saying, you know, why is this happening to me? What is going on? And he began to talk to me about the disciples and about how when they lost Jesus, they felt the same way. They didn't understand why he had to die. He told them countless times, but they didn't get it. They wanted a warrior, a hero, a David-like king to come and set Israel free. But that's not what he did. He came and he laid his life down and he died for the sins of man. And Scott said, you know, after Jesus died, and the disciples were just in the upper room, broken, right? He said, that's where you are. You're in a place where you don't understand why you're going through what you're going through. But beneath that pain, beneath everything you're going through, is the greatest victory than the world could ever know, because that was Jesus dying for the sins of man. And then the disciples realized that when Jesus resurrected from the dead, and they went and they changed the world. And 12 people now resorts to 2.6087314 billion people in today that now follow Jesus. So then that's what God did with me. Met me in my brokenness, met me in that moment. I decided, you know what, I'm gonna follow Christ and I'm gonna dedicate my life to him. And he's used me to go on and touch a lot of people and use my story to really bring a lot of healing.
Yeah, well, and I want to talk about that, but I got to say real quickly, if you're watching and you're at that point of hopelessness, you're in that upper room of brokenness, you know, there is someone who will talk to you right now. We have a prayer line that's available for you.
Come on.
You can be military, civilian, it doesn't matter, because the heartache is the same. The hell is the same, but Jesus is the same. He wants to rescue you from that desperation that you're in. So call somebody right now, call that prayer line, and somebody will just believe with you, encourage you, pray with you, because what Ben went through, the difficulty that he's been through and he's seen, that desperation, that rock bottom, when he made that turn to Christ, that's when it turned around, and you're going to hear a little bit about what he's doing today. But if you're at that point, you got to reach out. Reach out to someone else. Reach out to Christ above all. And you can have that new start and that hope and that purpose and that peace. So do that right now. Now, Ben, since that time, you really, I say purpose, peace, hope. I mean, is that true for you?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
What are you doing now?
So in 2016, I founded Engage Your Destiny, and we really set out in, like, how can we engage with our military, our veterans, and their families, and lead them into a life of destiny? And our real battle cry is to see a world without military suicide. You know, we have many issues with our veterans and our and their families, but, you know, we really have gotten into the niche of focusing on our active duty military. And so, you know, we've really found that how we're going to eliminate, you know, suicide in our active duty military, which we're working towards every day, is to use two main tools in working with active soldiers that are deploying and are the defenders of freedom. The first is emotional health. So as I said before, about 60% of those who join the military have a past of physical or sexual abuse. And we're in a very challenging time in our nation where only 71% of Gen Z is qualified to join the military, can physically or emotionally or mentally join our armed forces. It's a huge problem. And so, you know, with all of that, about half of Gen Z as well grows up without a father figure in the home, highest amount in history. And so we have a lot of young people coming into the military that have a lot of significant challenges that they're bringing in to the military. But on top of that, the cell phone has slowed down emotional development for 18-year-olds by about 2 to 3 years due to lack of social engagement. So your average 18-year-old is about a 15 or a 16-year-old based on if you don't develop the muscle, you can't deadlift,
Right.
And so it's the same thing with the emotions. And so that's where we work with soldiers on active duty basis on their emotional intelligence, helping them navigate and giving them practical tools on how they can navigate their emotions in a healthy way, make better decisions. it's also the research has been unbelievable around mental health when it comes to spirituality.
Yeah.
And the science has shown that military or veterans who have an active faith life are 7 times less likely to commit suicide. Mm. And the research of Dr. Lisa Miller out of Columbia has found that the cortical thickness between the right and the left brain and the ability to process emotions is 80% thicker in military or veterans who have an active spiritual life. Hmm. And so that's where we train soldiers and helping them engage and find, you know, their path for spirituality. But then we also have free will events on base where we put up flyers and we have, you know, Chick-fil-A and bring in artists and bands and things like that. Yeah, yeah. And we're building an incredible ministry on bases for soldiers to engage their faith
cool.
in a total free will, voluntary way.
Yeah,
and so we really do both and play in both spaces and hold that space well and honored. And that's where we're really working towards through emotional intelligence and through faith to see a world without military suicide.
You know, and I love that. I applaud that. Thank you for doing that.
Yes,
we love and respect all those who serve our country. If you're one of them or family member of one of them, we thank you for your service. It's interesting that what you're applying, you're talking about, you know, emotional health and the spiritual component.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's universally true.
Absolutely.
And that was true for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's true for anybody, wherever you're at. What would you say to someone who, whether they're military or not, might be struggling saying, yeah, I'm in a bad place. I don't know how to process things and my emotional health or stuff, whatever. And they haven't necessarily turned to Christ. I mean, is that really the only way, or are there maybe some, you know, right?
Well, this is a very powerful question, because it's what Christ does to the soul of a man, how Jesus transformed your life, but then also the tools that we're given through giving our life to Christ that is a part of the journey to heal,
right?
And so for me, you know, I gave my life to Jesus. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man can come to the Father except through Him. Mm-hmm. He will bring heaven to your hell all day long. He will fight for you. He is the warrior of our souls. And so many people, if you're watching this and you're going through hell in your soul, you don't need to be told you're going through hell in your soul. You're experiencing it. And by encountering Jesus, He's the one who takes the hell that's in your soul and He brings heaven into it in life, right? And that's unequivocally the answer.
Yeah.
But then also on top of that, there's a journey where there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors.
Community. Yeah.
In community. Mm-hmm. And I had, you know, after I got married, you know, I had to go on a real journey where, you know, marriage will bring out some of the best and the worst in you, if you know what I mean. And I'll tell you what, that first year of marriage was tough and facing my own selfishness. And I remember my wife and I, we got into counseling pretty early on in our marriage, realizing, you know what, let's get ahead of this. We're having troubles with communication, you know, and there was a lot of trauma coming up of stuff I'd never dealt with. And so that's where I just really want to encourage us in this day-to-day, don't just isolate yourself and your faith away from processing in community with people the things that you've gone through in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
And that's, and that's, you know, I'll beat that drum all day long. And I used to just, man, I used to be the guy out on the streets, winning people to Christ, praying for the sick, all those kinds of things. And I still live by that lifestyle. But I'm also like, man, I need to sit down with someone and process the things in my mind that I don't want to share with other people,
right?
The darkness that comes out and that we need to face in all of us and work through in our mind and in our hearts so we can be whole. And salvation means wholeness. It is the process of becoming whole in the things of God and in our minds and in our hearts.
So true. And it is a process.
Yeah.
And it is a journey.
Yeah.
So wherever you're at on the journey, be encouraged. Just keep going in the right direction. Listen, if you want to know more about Ben and his ministry, it is called Engage Your Destiny. Also, the name of Ben's book, which is available wherever you get books. You'll find out more about his testimony as well as what God is using him to do in the lives of others right now. And by the way, one of the secrets on this journey to wholeness is being involved in the lives of others. When someone's going through hell, they need a little heaven. You can be that heaven today for someone. Watch this and you'll understand.
I'm here with Joetta in Liberia, and we've been listening to her story. She's been married 24 years. She loves God, and yet she is a mother who, like so many of you watching, understands and has experienced the grief of the loss of a child.
We drink from water that is unsafe, and it has caused the death of my child. My son was only 13 years old when he died. He was very smart and he loved playing sports. One day he woke up and complained about bad stomach pain and that the water he drank is hurting his stomach. He said he couldn't stay home from school that day because he had a test and team practice later on. Then that afternoon, I saw a group of students walking to my house and they were carrying my son. I said, "What's going on?" My son was very weak from vomiting and diarrhea, and soon after that, he stopped breathing. I beg you, please, please, help us get clean water in our village.
I think of a mother who would sit on a porch and wait for her son to come home from school, but my heart just aches today for Joetta. We don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the kids here unless we can somehow bring water for life here. And I believe that God's given us the technology and the resources and the compassion to do whatever it takes to bring those rigs to villages like this here in Liberia and all over the world. It is impossible for these families to fix this on their own. It's impossible. We need your help. We need your help right now.
A lot of people watch that and they say, why would they drink that water? Well, they don't have a choice. So you might say, well, why don't they boil the water they do have? I don't know if you noticed, most of them are carrying plastic. And some of them do try to boil or filter, but I don't know if you've ever tried that. It is very, very difficult. Some of you might think, well, why don't they just dig deeper? You can't. The reality is you can't dig deep enough with a shovel or with your hands to get to the clean water. So my question would be, why don't we help them? We have the ability. We have the trucks that we can roll in to places like that and drill deep enough to get fresh, clean water. Problem solved. I know this because we've done it over the years. It's been like 25 years now since we've been doing this. We've drilled over 8,000 wells, and you may think, well, okay, sounds like you're doing pretty good. Yeah, well, what we've proven is that when you partner with us and the people in the mission field, we can turn a situation around. It's a big problem, but it's a simple solution, and the answer is you. Here's the breakdown on the financial side, just so you know. $48 will basically give 10 people water for life. It's about 70 years. We're basing that on the average cost of a well being $4,800, and it's serving on average about 1,000 people in a village and the surrounding villages. They'll walk for miles to come get clean water, believe me. $144 will basically provide that water, that clean, life-giving water, for 30 people. And we put it in those terms just so you get an idea of the power of your finances when put to good use in a way that is proven. And let me make this point very clear, because there are a lot of people doing a lot of good work. I applaud anyone out there providing clean water to people in need. But when we go into a village, we don't just give them drinking water. We give them the water of life. We demonstrate the gospel in word and deed. We give them clean water so that their body can be healthy. We preach Jesus Christ so that their spirit can live forever. So I'm asking you today, will you join us in this very effective, very simple, very easy to do outreach? Go give clean drinking water to people who are dying from dirty water. You can do that today. Go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can, and together, let's give more people water for life. Thank you.
Every day, thousands of lives are lost to a waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, now in its 25th year, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10, and $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With a gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Word for My Day devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily reading, an encouraging verse, and a thought to ponder for each day of the year. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the His Word is Life tumbler set. These two 20-ounce stainless steel tumblers, each inscribed with a scripture, will inspire you throughout the day and help keep your drinks well insulated while at home or on the go. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and request our beautiful bronze sculpture, A Cup of Water. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
You really can be an answer to prayer today. I hope you'll go online or go on the phone. Make the best gift you can. Ben, man, I appreciate your testimony.
Yeah, man.
What do you want people to walk away with when they see what you're doing? Maybe pick up your book.
Yeah, you know, I wrote Engage Your Destiny as the practical ways that you can live out your God-given purpose. Mm. And I think that we're living in a day and age where we need to simplify, get back to the basics where there's so much noise. And so with the book, you know, we get into the hard topics of suicide. Mm. Of sexual abuse, yeah. Of trauma, mm. How to heal from those things, mm. How to overcome from those things, but then also the practical ways that you can really figure out, okay, what has God called me to do, and exercises and prayers to work through those.
Yeah. Yeah.
We want to see more Christians, more people that are filled with God's Spirit living their life of purpose. Mm. And so I just encourage everyone, man, go get this book. It's really going to bless you.
Appreciate you guys being here. If you want more blessing, more encouragement, go to lifetoday.org. We've got Ben there and lots of other great people that can encourage you in your walk. We'll see you again next time here on Life Today.
And I was looking at the scraps of my life, and I was just like, you didn't hold up to your end of the bargain, God.
Right.
Sharia Rush, tomorrow.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.